Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Again, I want to take an opportunity to welcome you to our services today. Thank you for coming out, and I appreciate you being a part of it today. It is a beautiful day to be in God's house, a beautiful morning this morning. I trust you had safe travel to church, and pray for traveling grace as we depart later in the morning. If you would, take your Bible, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 20. John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 20. As you're finding your place this morning, I would like to give you an opportunity, if someone has a word of testimony, a praise report, something that's on your heart today that you would like to share, now is an opportunity for you to do so. Thank you. Someone else this morning. All right, John chapter 17, beginning with verse 20. God's Word tells us, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me, through their word, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the word may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one. And in them and thou, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. And the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word today. We are concluding the high priestly prayer of Jesus this morning. And there is a lot of information in this high priestly prayer. As a matter of fact, as I went through it, I happened to notice the word "that" is mentioned 9 times in this passage. The word "that" shows purpose. There are 9 levels of purpose that are mentioned by the Lord in this high priestly prayer, just this portion of it. Purpose that reflects back to your life and my life. Now, I'm not going to preach a 9-point message this morning, okay? But I will give you that information because that's something that I think is relevant in your life, and you should be interested in that, and you should be wanting to take that and on your own read about the 9 purposes that are in this closing portion, because they're very relevant to us today. This is not just something that was prayed 2,000 years ago for a small group of men that were standing in the presence of the Lord for them and them alone. Because if you notice in the very first verse I read, Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." If we are saved this morning, we are saved because someone preached the word of God to us. The preaching of that word of God has been handed down since this time, this moment in history, through the church fathers to the point in time where we are today. We had the preaching of the Word of God in our lives and the conviction that led from it because Jesus Christ prayed for us 2,000 years ago. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, as I begin this morning, I want you to think with me as I give you this a little story to open. You know that things are known by their trademark and even by their design. And they are. They're known by that. For example, the automobile you drive is known by the trademark or possibly the design that it has. It's either a car or a truck or an SUV or something of that nature. But it is known by that trademark. It's known by the company that made it and in their trademark. Even the clothes that you're wearing today are known by their trademark or their design. Trademarks and designs make things very visible and very identifiable. For example, those holding an office can be identified by the attire they wear. A doctor is known by their attire. When you're in a hospital and you see doctors walking up and down the hallways where they're working with their patients or in a doctor's office, they're known by their attire. Used to, they would have their white coats on and their things like that, but now, more so than ever, they're able to be dressed just like you and I, but they'll still be walking the hall. They'll have their stethoscope hung over their neck, or they'll have something going on that's easily identifying them as a doctor. Well, what about the policeman? The policeman is identified by their uniform, as other law enforcement officers are. Judges are identified by their robes, aren't they? It's a trademark. It is some type of a feature that identifies them and sets them apart. Well, do you know that God has given irrefutable evidence that the church is close to Him, and that irrefutable test can be measured through our own spiritual maturity? That's a trademark that we have, is our spiritual maturity. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to be on the same level. When I'm talking about spiritual maturity, I'm talking about how it is worked out in your life and where you are in your walk with God and your spiritual maturity today. But nonetheless, that spiritual maturity in your life is something that is irrefutable as identifying you as a Christian, as a born-again child of God. Because those who are not saved today do not have that characteristic. They can't create it. They can't fake it. They can't try to duplicate it through academics. They can't do any. Loving people and philanthropy are great in that aspect. Writing a check or sending a truckload of this or a truckload of that is great philanthropy. But that is not a characteristic of Christianity. A characteristic of Christianity comes from the heart. It is something that is identified through your spiritual maturity. Some people are just getting started. Some people have gotten started 20, 30, 40 years ago and are still getting started. Some folks are up here after just a little while. There's a lot that goes into spiritual maturity and how a person grows and develops in it. But nonetheless, there is growth and there is development, whether it is slow or whether it is rapid. There is growth and there is development. Jesus puts it this way. He says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Now that love isn't philanthropy. That love is an unrestricted giving of yourself. Now there are people who give from the heart. They have been blessed. They have been blessed many times over with the opportunity and the privilege to give, and they give out of love. I am no man's judge. I am just stating, as a matter of fact, going into this message this morning, there are two types of people who give. There is a type of a person who gives out of the love of their heart, that is a Christ-centered love that is given out of maturity in Jesus Christ, and there are those who are giving just for the sake of giving to be noticed. It's not my opportunity to judge anyone. It's not my ability to judge anyone. It is just a simple fact that according to God's Word, both people exist. Both exist. And Jesus says that those that give out of love will be known to be His. Love. Godly love. It is the experience of God's love that we read about from the passage this morning. We hear a lot of purpose that's in there. And we're going to get into some of that in categories anyway. But the reality of it is God is speaking, the Lord is speaking to God, to His Father, about love. About God's love to Him, about His love to God, about His disciples' love to Jesus, and about God's love back to those disciples again. Love. A three-way expression. And that three-way expression often gets lost. It often gets lost inside of our daily lives. It gets lost inside of frustration. It gets lost inside of miscommunication. It gets lost inside of misunderstandings. It gets lost in a lot of ways and in a lot of aspects inside of our life. Well, this morning I want us to revisit the experience of God's love in our personal lives. I want us to revisit the experience of God's love from His Word. And I want us to be encouraged by it today if we're a child of God. And if we're not a child of God, I want us to be encouraged by the invitation to become a child of God this morning. So I want you to notice with me that the mature Christian that God wants us to be comes from three categories or three points in this passage. First, godly love begins as unity with each other and with the Godhead. Notice verse 21. Jesus says, they all may be one. Right before that is one of those that's, one of those purpose statements, that they may be one. If we're going to be one, we're going to be in unity with one another. And I'm not saying unity to talk about some social movement. I'm not talking about unity to talk about some other type of work or effort that's going on. I'm talking about being unified through the blood of Jesus Christ as the body of Christ reaching out into a lost and into a dying world. And for that to happen, for us to be unified through the body of Christ, we're all going to have to be saved by grace through faith in Him and Him alone. There's no in-betweens. It's not something that we can add names to the list. It's something that we can only look at the list in heaven that God has on His roll book. If our name is on His roll book in heaven, we are the body of Christ. We're part of that. And we ought to be unified as the body of Christ this morning. There should be no divisions. There should be no us and them. There should be no big eyes and no little we. It should be a unification through the blood of Christ. And that comes through the Godhead. If we're unified with one another, we're going to be unified through the Godhead. We're going to be unified through Christ, through the Father, and through the Holy Spirit. Unity, contrary to popular teaching and belief, unity is not some heavenly thought. It's not some heavenly expectation where we say, boy, I sure wish that the church could do this, or I sure wish the church could do that, or I sure wish this, or I sure wish that. It is not a heavenly wish list. It is an expectation from God, an expectation that we don't really have an option to choose or not. Now, too often what we wind up doing is we wind up refusing to follow it. We wind up refusing to love based on God's Word because honestly, it rubs us the wrong way. And if we get right down to it and we admit it this morning, we know it does. It rubs us the wrong way sometimes to love folks that have wronged us. And there isn't a person sitting in here today, myself included, that hasn't been wronged by somebody in the church. There's another side to that coin, though. There isn't a person in here today, including myself, that hasn't wronged someone else in the church. There's two sides to that coin. We often like to look at one side, but we don't really like looking at the other. If we're going to have unity and we're going to have the love of Christ in our life, then we are going to have to look first inward at us. We're going to have to look first inward at myself and see what I need to do in my life to be right with God so I can be right with others. Because that brings us to the next point that I want to talk about. And that is that godly love develops complete maturity to fulfill the responsibilities of unity. That complete maturity is the word perfect found in verse 23. If you look with me at verse 23, you'll see that word perfect there. That they, the disciples, may be made perfect in one. In one is that unity again. They may be complete. There is nothing more than being made spiritually mature for you and I. That's what complete means. That's what the perfect means. It means being spiritually mature. It means being able to practice the unity that is in our lives. It means that we are growing into a point where we're not just looking at others, but we're looking at ourselves first. That practice is also has us united under the headship of Christ and the sovereignty of God. We realize that there is nothing in our life that God doesn't know about. Now, that's a really cute statement to hear preached, and it's a really cute statement to talk about. But if you really sit down and let it sink in, you realize that it gets real personal real quick when you go back over all of the things in life that you've been through, things that you're not really proud of, things that you don't really want folks to know about. And then you start thinking about all of those things that have happened, all of those things that have been said, all of those things that have been done, and you realize that they may be saved and you may have them under the blood of Christ, but God knows about them. He hasn't forgotten them. He sees the blood of Christ where they've been forgiven. If we realize that as a mature Christian today, then we realize the love of God has moved in our life in such a way that He has chosen to not hold me accountable, not hold me responsible for those things. Now, folks, that's a blessing. When I sit and I think about my life and I think about all of the things that God can hold me in judgment for this morning, and I think about all of the things that God could hold over my head today, and He could say, oh yes, but I remember this, and oh yes, but I remember that, then He chooses not to, because He wants to see the blood of Christ covering my sin and covering me. He wants to see me in the body of Christ, and He wants to see me working as part of that body of Christ. He wants to see me in unity with others in that body of Christ that are in that very same circumstance and condition, and that is you this morning. That is you. We all have that forgiveness in our lives if we're saved. We all have that love. I'm reminded of Jesus' great commandment when I think of Christian maturity. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, Jesus says that one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Jesus says if you're going to love God, you have to love Him completely and totally and exclusively. There is nothing else equal to God. There's nothing that comes close to being equal with God. We love Him, and we love Him exclusively. And if we love God and we love God exclusively, then we're going to love our neighbor. not the neighbor we choose to love, not the neighbor we decide we want to love, but we're going to love thy neighbor as thyself. When we realize what God has done in our life, we're thankful, and we feel that fortunate and that blessing that's coming upon us, then we're going to also love our neighbor to the point of wanting them to experience that same love. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying we want them to experience it. We're going to love them enough to want them to make that experience and have that experience. That brings us down to the third point. That God's love, godly love, is shared to draw others to Christ. In verses 24 through 26, we see that Jesus closes by asking His Father to impart the love that is shared with Jesus to those serving God through Jesus. Father, I will. The will of Christ. That, another one of those purpose statements, they also, the saved, the redeemed, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Jesus says his purpose is that those who follow him, those that are saved, by grace through faith in Him, can behold His glory. Can embrace it. Can embrace the glory of Christ. Can embrace everything that Christ stood for and embrace it in their own heart and embrace it in their own life. That glory that Christ had before the Father, before God, the glory that was seen by the disciples in Him, the glory of everything that was done in Christ to glorify God is present in your life today. It is present. Grasp it. Grasp it. Take hold of it. Embrace it. Let it speak to your life. He says in verse 25, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast seen me. Testimony that Christ has through a person's life is a testimony that reaches into the personal lives of those that are walking the streets this morning. Those that are so worried and so worshiping of a football game this morning that they're waiting on the kickoff here shortly so that they can see those people that are going to let them down today. And they're going to go back to work tomorrow, all dejected and all rejected and feeling bad because the people that they had put their faith in had let them down on Sunday afternoon. Bless God, this morning we serve a Savior who's not going to let us down today. We serve a God that's going to encourage us and pick us up. We serve a God that's going to always be on the throne. We serve a God that wants to save those that are out there today that are putting their hopes in something that's going to fall short. It's destined to. Because the God in heaven is not their God. Something else is. Just as one time in our lives before we were saved, something else was our God. We're no different. The world doesn't know God, but we know Him through Christ. And as that, we love our neighbor enough to where we want to share with them Christ. At least that's where our heart should be this morning. That is where our desires should be today. That is what Christ wants in your life and in my life. He wants us to love others enough to share with them what God has already shared with us. In verse 26, he says, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. There's the purpose statement of that whole passage. That the love thou hast loved me with will be in them. When we're saved, we have that love. If you're born again today, you have that love. You have that encouragement this morning. You have that reason inside of you to reach out to those around you, to reach up to God for the strength to reach and touch hearts and lives. Even those, especially those who don't like you. Especially those who want to be an enemy with you. Especially those who want to cause you struggles and difficulties and troubles and frustrations. Those are the ones that the love of God wants to work through you to reach out to the most. Because they are the ones who are hungriest. They are the ones that are hurting the most. They are the ones that are in the most desperate need for the High Sheriff of Glory to come into their hearts and life, to arrest their situation and to take it and to cover it in His blood. They are the ones who most desperately need to call upon God this morning. But the second most desperate are those who have alienated themselves from the love of God in their own life. We have it, but we've alienated ourselves because we've allowed so many things of the world to come in and take control. We've allowed so many things in the world to come in and reach into our hearts and reach into our lives and separate us from one another and separate us from God. He wants us, His church, His body, to be in unity so that we can be reaching out to those who need Him the most. This morning when I opened, I spoke about trademarks. Well, the trademark of a Christian is godly love. It's what Jesus experienced Himself. It's what Jesus taught the 11 that stood with Him during this high priestly prayer. It's what the Holy Spirit brings into the heart of every born-again believer. It is also what many born-again believers seem to quench as religion begins to take precedence over Christianity. This morning, I hope that you've allowed God's Word to penetrate your heart and penetrate your life. My desire is that all of us would want to walk away this morning renewed in the experience of God's love, renewed in the experience of unity in Christ. But before that, two things have to happen. First, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our life, in our heart, so that we can grow in that Christian life. Second, we have to submit to that movement. When we ask the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, we have to be submissive to that movement. We must humbly come before God, and we must humbly repent. We must humbly want revival in our life. So as we close this morning, I want to bring this to you, and it's a very quiet, very somber altar call. No music. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. This morning, is your life a trademark of Christianity? Is your life a trademark that is marked with and given love and shown with the love of Christ and exclusively His love? I hope it is. But if God has shown you some areas in your life today where He needs to make some improvements and He needs to make some changes, I want to ask you right now, before you leave, before we close in prayer, I want to ask you right now to take this opportunity and ask God to do that work and do that movement in your life that will bring you closer to Him, that will bring you in unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ through Jesus Christ, that will bring you in unity with God, that will bring you in unity through through the body of Christ, you'll be able to reach out and love your neighbor. And through that love, be able to point them to Christ. It isn't difficult to ask for, but it takes faith to practice. Maybe you need that faith this morning. Maybe you need that strength this morning. I ask you why you've got your head bowed to ask for that as well. To seek out whatever it may be that God is working in your heart, in your life, so that you can be the mature Christian that is experiencing the love of God that can reach out and touch others with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord God, I thank you so much for the privilege of sharing your word today. And Lord, I pray that your word, not my words, your word, would go into the hearts and the lives of those who hear this message, that it would convict and bring people to repentance in their own lives. And Heavenly Father, those that need you as a Savior today, they would call upon you without delay. And Lord, I pray that we would walk away unified as the body of Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would walk away in love with one with another, in love for you first, seeking you to be our number one source, our number one God, the only God that we have in our life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct us in everything that's said and done. I pray that you would have your will in our life and only your will. Heavenly Father, bring us back safely to gather again to worship you at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.